Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Welcome to the Sheer Luxe Team podcast with me, Charlotte Collins. This week, I'm joined by Sherry Andrew, Heather Steele, and Polly Sayer. Hi, everyone.
Hello.
Polly's got her legs out today.
I know, I'm just admiring the tan.
Yeah, you look so brown.
Well, everyone says that with such surprise. I'm like, guys, it's always fake. Like,
I know it's fake.
It's like, it's never real.
But what is it? It's such a good
color. Oh, my God, yeah. Different. I did do it this morning. I am really bad, though. Like, I leave it on to develop for such a long time. And I think maybe I need to get into the habit of putting it on the night before and then rinsing it in the morning. But I just really like to be really, really bronzed.
I put on Bare by Vogue, I think it was Thursday last week in the morning before I came to work. And by like 12, I was just the most gorgeous brown. Colour. It's like, yeah. Like you are now.
Didn't you even like look at yourself like, guys, I'm just really a gorgeous colour right now.
I don't take credit for it. It's like a 20 quid bottle of tan, but
it's
really
so
works.
It's so good, isn't it? I think we've given them so many plugs. But genuinely, it's so good.
Genuinely the best.
Actually, you put me onto it.
What colour do you use?
Medium at the moment. Yeah, I was too. Using like ultra dark for a while, and then I was like, maybe I've gone a bit too far.
And actually, January as well.
Yeah, but people are like, oh, you're looking quite bronze today. I was like, maybe I need to tone it down a bit. But
that's a great
colour. Perfect.
Yeah. Great. How are you guys, Sherry? Just fresh back from a retreat in Italy.
Yeah, it's a retreat. I feel very refreshed, relaxed.
Tell us about it.
Had a lovely weekend. So I went on a press trip to Italy, one night in Rome, which was lovely. Very full of culture and nice food.
What did you do in Rome?
So we had a private tour with this really cool company, and they do lots of celebrity clients. And I was like, oh, who have you had recently? And the guy was like, oh, you know, I'm friends with Angelina Jolie now. Zendaya was here last week.
Wow, cool.
I know, showing me pictures of him with her kids. Mega. And I was like, wow, that's very cool.
I'm really sorry to interrupt, but I saw the Beckhams this morning.
Yeah.
I did. Yeah, Lily, who records the podcast, like, oh, yeah, yeah. I drove to work this morning and they were walking. They live in Holland Park. I think they were walking Harbour to school. I won't reveal them what school I saw them going to. I told Ben, I was like, I know what school she goes to now. He's like, you're a freak.
Anyway. I would be genuinely starstruck if I saw the Beckhams.
Sorry, they are. That's it was one. Both of them. Yeah, that's so mega. It was David and Victoria walking the dog. And
what dog do they have?
They've got a few, but they had a little black fluffy thing.
Thanks for asking it. I was an important question.
A few little black fluffy thing, but I know they've got a cocker or two as well, but they just have one little black fluffy thing with them.
Charlotte sent me a photo this morning, and it took me like a minute to work out who it was, because they were both, I think from my memory, they were both in like army camo jackets. And I was like,
yeah, hang on,
is that like SAS very, who dares win? Yeah.
He does look a bit SAS and she is
very,
like classic VB.
Very 90s Beckhams. Oh my God, yeah, right. Oh my God, that's
right?
The cap. This then, is a fabulous on, photo.
There they are.
Wow. Yes.
There you go.
So
that's a great advocate taking a picture while you drive.
They're obviously like in disguise, like, oh, we'll go in camo, no one will see us. But it's like on the streets of London, it's quite a distinctive look.
They were walking down, like, I mean, literally past the Natural History Museum. Like, it's not a subtle area to be walking.
Oh,
and
good for them that they can do that, though.
Yeah,
having, you know, privacy and safety to be able to walk.
I know.
Their daughter's school.
He's also noticeable from a mile off because he's just so fucking handsome. I saw him from literally 10 miles away.
Yeah.
I saw him from home.
There
anyway,
he is.
Sorry, I digress. But anyway, that was really exciting.
That is exciting.
Sorry, Sherry.
Back to Sherry's holiday.
Back to Rome.
So, where was the private tour of?
Okay, I can't actually remember. It's so exclusive. They didn't actually tell us what the name was.
What?
They do tours where the public can't get to.
Wow.
So it was like an amazing like view of the whole city. Wow. And there was like a really long queue next door of people queuing to take a really tiny picture through a hole in the door.
Yeah, I've been there. You're like high up in Rome, and then as you say, it's a door that's got like a teeny tiny peephole in it.
Exactly.
But you can see the whole of Rome through it.
Wow.
It's really beautiful. And people
that's
queue
amazing.
For it. Like,
yeah.
So it was near there?
It was near there.
Okay.
And then we went to the Fendi Museum, which is just above their flagship store, which was just around the corner from where we were staying, which is really cool.
The building's beautiful, isn't it?
So it's where Zuma is.
Exactly. Yes. And they have an apartment on the top floor, which is like mega insane. And they also saw they have like a fur factory in there, which is quite strange.
Fendi's still duvet.
Yeah.
Laura and I were looking this up the other day because we were talking about brands that sell duvet, and there was a recent quote that was something like, when I say recent, it was Karl Lagerfeld, but it wasn't like that long ago. And it was like, Fendi is fur and fur is Fendi.
Especially you getting a tour of the fur factory.
Quite bizarre. Like, in, you know, today you don't really see it very often, especially not over here.
No.
But that was interesting. It's obviously their heritage. And we had a swift journey about an hour away to this small town called Fuji, which is in the hills, very beautiful. And it was a wellness retreat called Palazzo Fuji. Had some lovely treatments. It was quite a strict retreat. You have different treatments depending on what you want to achieve. We were on a normal plan, but it felt quite restricted. No caffeine, no coffee, no alcohol, very minimal carbs.
I think you didn't quite realise either, did you?
No.
It's going to be quite as strict.
I didn't. But it was fine. It was an experience. It was like Pilates every morning at 7 a.m.
Wow. Okay.
You have your herbal tea, you have your juice. It was lovely.
Nice,
really, really nice. Yeah.
Different.
And especially if it's only a few days. Like,
yeah, exactly.
And you said you slept really well.
I slept really well. It was very quiet. But people stay there for like 2-3 weeks at a time.
Oh, wow. Do like a detox kind of thing.
Yeah. Exactly. If you want to like lose, you know, a load of weight in one go.
Did you come home and immediately grab like a coffee and a loaf of bread?
Yes, I did. My housemate was like, we have birthday cake in the flat.
I
was like, finally sugar. But yeah, it was a lovely trip.
Heaven.
Yeah.
Heather, how are you? It was your birthday week before last.
Yeah, it was.
What did you get up to?
Ooh, lots. I don't know, just basically, I never like, I'm like, oh, let's do something for my birthday. But I don't know, maybe post-pandemic, I'm a bit more like, oh, fuck it, let's have some fun. And lots of other friends wanted to do stuff. So I ended up, staying in London for the weekend, stayed at the Mondrian Shoreditch, which was really nice. Enjoyed it. Had a massage on my birthday, which was a lovely thing to do.
The Mondrian was the curtain, right?
Exactly. Yeah. And then, weirdly, the 100 Shoreditch is the former Ace Hotel. So it's all changed in Shoreditch, but they all look good. And actually, I hadn't been to that neck of the woods in bloody years. I used to go there all the time for gigs and just haven't been for a long time. So it's actually quite nice to kind of see what was still there and see some of the new things.
I love Shoreditch. It's just so far. Well, I don't think anyone doesn't agree that. It doesn't matter where you live. Everybody thinks Shoreditch is unless you live in Shoreditch.
Yeah, I think that's why I just haven't been, because especially getting back to Brighton on a random Thursday, like it's quite a mission. Yeah. But no, I really enjoyed it. I'd actually really like to go back for another sort of weekend and just like stick around that part of town. But
we actually went weekend before last and came out of Liverpool Street because that's just the easiest for us.
Yeah.
And I went to the new Eataly, I don't think it is that new, but went to Eataly because I've been to where have we been? We've been to the one in Stockholm.
Yeah.
But never to the London one. It is incredible.
It's humongous.
The smell in there of pizza is just incredible. It was really cool.
Yeah.
I want to go and do shopping there.
Yeah, you've got to like make it a thing for the day, haven't you? Unless you live out east anyway. But well worth doing.
Yes, so worth doing.
But no, I finally went to Rochelle Canteen for dinner, which I've wanted to do for years, and it was amazing.
Was
it? Everything I wanted it to be.
Really?
So I would heartily recommend.
That's my list.
I feel like between there and like Cafe Cecilia, like there are all these places that way. Jolene, I know it's all like Hackney slash
Bethnal Green especially has got like incredible restaurants. Yeah. So Bratz there, Doterra, you could go on and on.
Mm.
Definitely keen to go back there. But we also went to Seed Library, which is an amazing bar, which is like the newest like Mr. Lion bar.
Mm-hmm.
And that was excellent as well. Sort of 70s themed, but in a cool way. So there were like lots of things that like I was like, oh, I've got that lamp at home, nice one. But the cocktails were amazing. And actually I went there in somewhere called Umbrella Workshop, which was around the corner, of really small, 12 people only, sort of like a test kitchen for like Discount Suit Company and the Sun Tavern, which are some other really cool bars in East London. But they've now got this new site where they like test out cocktails on punters and then decide which ones to serve in the bars.
Discount Suit Company is like it's like a hole in the wall, isn't it? Like a hidden. Yeah.
But no, really, really fun. But my point of saying all that is I was really impressed with the prices. Like these amazing cocktails, same in Seed Library, they're all like £8 or £9, which like
so
it just seems really unheard of in London now, especially for like one using like interesting ingredients and like small batch brands and stuff. So
Seed Library looks very sexy from the images. We put in SL Man this week and it was really cool.
I absolutely loved it. And again, like £9 for a really good, like, I had a coriander seed gimlet, which was amazing. Ooh, and nice. Yeah, like when I went, it was a Friday night and they had like really cool DJ in, like playing really good music. And I think it's open till like 2 at the weekend. So it's a good spot if you did want to like go for a late night drink.
Can you book?
You can, but also they do have walk-ins as well. So yeah, it's not like one of those bars where you absolutely must book before you go. So yeah, all of those places were very good.
A great recommendation.
Yeah, had a lovely birthday, yes. And then I was really ill on the Sunday, so not hungover either. I don't know what happened, but it felt like punishment for too much fun.
What are you telling you? You're getting older.
Yeah, yeah, I know. 34.
That's good. Polly, you've been skiing?
Yes, been skiing, which was super fun. It was, for me, like skiing as a adult, I learned as an adult, is like such a like a roller coaster, such a cliche, but like it really is like so many ups and downs, and like I love it overall. It's one of those things where you're just like, some days I'm like, what the fuck am I doing? Like, this is ridiculous. I'm on like top of a mountain. What is to stop me just skiing off the edge? Like, it's really scary. And then other days you're like, yeah, this is sick, I'm really good. And then you take one tumble and you're like, oh shit. Like, it's humbling, I would say, for me. Like,
grounding.
Really is. Like, one day I was like out on my lesson, like, I thought I was going quite fast and quite confidently, like down at a red, and I just like got my pole like stuck onto my ski, so I literally just went arse over tit, like quite literally, and like tumbled right down, and like I was fine, I like maybe put my wrist down and just bruised it a bit, but it really was just like, right, okay, I really can't get too comfortable with this, like,
and it's a confidence knock.
100%, yeah. But like, it is super fun, and like, I don't know, it's just like going to another world, isn't it? Going like sitting in the mountains and like eating cheese every day is quite a nice way to live. So yeah, it was really fun, thanks.
Where were you?
We were in like Chamonix, basically, but like not actually in Chamonix, just around the area, but beautiful. It was really nice.
Great.
How was your weekend?
This weekend was really nice, thanks. Pretty chilled. I saw the Batman.
I keep meaning to see it, and it's 3 hours long, so that's why we haven't seen it yet, but I really want to.
My advice would be, like, don't go on a school night. Unless you're the kind of people who can stay up till like 1 a.m.
It's really long, isn't it?
Yeah, so it's a full 3 hours.
Oh, wow.
I didn't find it. They went quite quickly. And I actually found that the longer it went on, the less I was aware of the time. After the first hour, I was like, oh my God, 2 hours left. But then actually, I got quite into it. But yeah, we had like no plans on Saturday. And then we went Saturday night. So I was quite, we were really, you know, you need to be able to like sink into it a little bit. But I loved it. I thought it was so
good.
I'm not into superhero films. I'm not into Marvel and like that stuff. But I love the Dark Knight series so much.
That's how I feel as well.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Like, epic.
Yeah.
It's very different to The Dark Knight. It's a lot less creepy. They've tried to, you like that, like Heath Ledger creepiness will like stay with me forever. Do you know what, like that image of him and the nurse is like, he's so creepy. And they try to do the same. The Riddler is the baddie in this one, and they've tried to do the same thing, but it's nowhere near as chilling. But it's got a kind of 50s noir mystery thing to it. There's I heard somebody talking about how it's got a kind of anime style. It's got that kind of gothic, dark,
like the original sort of cartoons sort
of thing. It's everything happens in the rain, and he's got this floppy hair, and you can just see it almost being sketched out like that. But I think Robert Pattinson is so good in it.
He's so talented. He's still trying to shake off this sort of Twilight heartthrob thing years later, but he's an excellent actor,
which he isn't doing very successfully in this, because it's sort of the same character. It's quite a brooding superhero,
a miserable pale man,
quite emo, but he's really good in it. And actually, it's just so happened that when I got home, I was flicking through TV and Dark Knight was on, so I flicked it on for a second, and Christian Bale looks like a really pathetic, sad little Batman in comparison.
Really?
He's
sad,
just got this
Batman,
like,
Jane. <He does. laughs>
Robert Pattinson's got such a square jaw, and it just looks so, he's like this beefy, manly Batman, whereas Christian Bale's is like a little bit weedier. Anyway, I thought it was so great. Colin Farrell is also in it, which I didn't
recognizable.
I didn't know until long after I'd seen it. He plays the Penguin, but I mean, in like insane prosthetics, but also like I would have never ever in a minute he plays this like 60-year-old gangster.
So wow. Yeah, Greg, who writes the brief for us, we were both saying when it came out that first weekend, oh, I'm gonna see it this weekend. I didn't, and he said the same, like he didn't realize until like his name popped up in the credits. Yeah. He was like, what, when is he in it? Googled it and was like, what?
Exactly the same happened to me. I had some critics talking about how fabulous Colin Farrell was in it, and did exactly the same. Googled it, went to Google Images and was like, no way. So he's brilliant. Cool. Zoe Kravitz is brilliant. Annoys me, very like classic sexualized female, yeah. You know, plus one.
Oh, you just thought they might have updated her slightly.
She was kind of saved by Batman over and over again looked super hot.
I mean, I knew she was always going to look fit, but I thought she might have a bit more of
she's quite an emotional woman and he kind of swoops in and saves her a lot. Annoying. It is a bit annoying. Although she saves him once, but anyway, no. They could have done more to break down stereotypes there. But anyway.
Is Paul Dano good as the Riddler?
Like,
or has he just got a bag over his head so he can't
He's got a bag over his head and there's a lot. I don't think it's that hard to be like, oh, I'm the Riddler. Yeah. Like, there's just quite a lot of that. The creepiness is not there.
Okay, because like, I really rate him.
He does a lot of like sadistic, gross shit, but it's just not, nothing will ever, to me, as I say, beat that Heath Ledger. That like, oh, so creepy.
Yeah.
But it's visually beautiful. I really enjoyed it. If you've got 3 hours, I really recommend it. Okay. I also watched this weekend the Andy Warhol Diaries.
Oh yes.
On Netflix. So this is a new series produced by Ryan Murphy, exec produced by Ryan Murphy. And it is basically a 6-part mini series documenting Andy Warhol's life. He basically wrote a series of memoirs throughout his life, which were then turned into a book after he died. And this series uses AI to replicate his voice to read out extracts from the book, which is A, crazy, and B, they do it super well. So it's part talking heads, part these diary extracts, and then they use real footage and I believe some replicated footage as well, but it's really hard to tell which is which, to kind of characterize what he's talking about. So when he's talking about Studio 54, you know, it's filled with, they kind of, it's almost like a Reels. It's really clever. They just like flick through all these images super quickly and they use existing footage and it's an amazing snapshot. If you watched Halston and loved that, this is like a deep dive into that world. And there's like watch this whole section on Victor Hugo, who was Halston's boyfriend, who got a lot of airtime in that series. And I was like, oh, I know who he is. Like, you know, the two go really well hand in hand. But because it's Ryan Murphy produced, it's got that real kind of glamorous, flamboyant touch. And God, Warhol was weird. Really? He was a really weird guy. Yeah,
quite creepy. I thought
really quite creepy.
In what sense?
Did you watch it as well?
No. I saw the trailer. I thought, oh, it looks a little bit weird.
Very, very, very self-absorbed. I mean, I guess like all these people very like. I didn't know this about him, but he just decided one day that he wanted to be a model, but in like a very kind of insecure, you know, he was at the height of his fame, so no one would say no to him. But it's super weird. Like, there's all these kind of buff men around, and then there's him in this kind of skinny. He really stands out. But he just went around, you know, completely po-faced, telling everybody that he was a model now, and he just a bit of an oddball, but also obviously a total legend and genius. So I really recommend it if you're. Yeah. I mean, who's not into 80s glamour?
Pop, it was really true.
Yeah, I really loved it. So that's what I did this weekend. Has anyone else got anything to recommend?
I've literally just been watching The Apprentice and Interior Design Masters.
Oh my God, I love Interior. So I feel like you're so much better than both of those shows.
I just want to watch something easy these days when I get in from work. I haven't got the mental capacity to watch something too challenging.
Exactly. And true. I love Alan Carr.
He really makes funny. It. I don't think I'd watch it if he wasn't presenting.
So what happens in Interior Design
Masters? Well, it's sort of kind of what it says on the tin. It is a group of amateur interior designers, so they don't do it professionally, but they have an eye for it or whatever. And they certainly think they do, yes. And each week they have challenges of like, you know, they've got hotel rooms each to redecorate in a certain, to a brief, I guess. And then one person goes, you know, if they've done the worst job. But they've obviously got like BBC budgets to work with. The interiors are not like always something I want to replicate, and they can be a version a little like, oh, okay, here we go.
But it's just some still of it's very changing rooms, isn't it?
Did I see one with Matthew Williams as a guest judge?
He had guest judged it before.
He had, and then it's the Michelle Gundahin who hosts it as the kind of voice expert.
The rooms I saw on that were so bad. Like, it was like something out of like Ms. Magazine.
Yeah.
Like, they had to design some studies, and they were just, there was so much like
I think primary they just colour. Like some of them I'm like, oh yeah, you've done a really good job, I guess, under the circumstances, because I think they literally get 2 days and they have to share the like workmen or work people with their, you know, people they're working with or whatever. So I guess it's very much a like cobbled together quite quickly sort of thing. So that's probably why they look a bit like, but whatever happens, I love seeing like a transformation and like being like, oh, that's actually really like clever. Like that guy last week, or like the first week where they had to, design I can't even remember what it was, but he'd done some kind of like revolving turnaround door, which instead of like pulling it out into the room, it just spun around and then it became a full length mirror. And I was you know what, that's kind of smart. And the way that, you know, people think if they've got that kind of brain, I think it's kind of fascinating. It's a bit of a brain vacation, isn't it?
But it's all about Alan Carr. He's just like the natural presenter for it. He's so like evil to them, but in a funny way. Like he makes it for me. I don't think I'd watch it otherwise.
And the other Alan over on The Apprentice, it's been a good series.
It has, actually. I haven't watched it for a couple of years, and then I think the first episode had been out and I was like, a gathering with people and they were like, no, it's really good this year. So I was like, fine, but it's just on a Thursday and, you know,
something to watch.
Easy watching. Exactly. I feel like there's also something else of that ilk I've been indulging in. Ooh, but I can't remember.
I'm loving Love is Blind on Netflix.
Oh, yeah, I already watched that whenever that came out.
The first series was just such trash, but it's so enjoyable.
What's the second one like?
Pretty much the same. Similar characters, similar situations, but I'm still here for it.
Still entertaining.
Next time around.
Sherry, anything to recommend?
I actually saw the new J-Lo film, Marry Me, which I had. I did.
How was that?
The disdain in your voice. I had very low expectations. You know what? I loved it.
Yeah, do you know what? I know. I
honestly loved it. I just love her. It was just J-Lo being J-Lo, singing some songs.
Is Matthew McConaughey in it as well?
Matthew McConaughey. Owen Wilson, that's
not
the one.
Not Matthew McConaughey.
Yeah. They're actually a couple in the film by like some strange means. But it was so good. And it's all like her original songs with this other, can't remember his name.
Muamba or something.
Yeah, the Latina guy.
He's one of those people who I'd never heard of. And then you click on their Instagram and they've got like 800 million followers. And you're
He's like really famous.
That happened to me with a Bollywood star yesterday. Somebody tagged her and I clicked on her, never having heard of her. 39 million followers.
Wow. And then I guess like things like Bollywood, there is like a whole massive industry in, you know, one part of the world.
I mean, it's bigger than Hollywood, isn't it? Yeah, yeah. It's just obviously if you're not engaged with that, it just blows my mind how you cannot have heard someone with that. Yeah,
exactly.
But yeah, it was just a really feel-good film. The songs are also really good. I've added them all to my Spotify already.
Yeah,
they're really good. Especially the main one, Marry Me. It's a tune.
Nice.
It was just like a really feel good, low stake film.
So there's a film I really want to see, and I feel like I've sent all my friends the trailer, and they were like, "Are you joking? This is like such trash." But I feel like you'll be here with me on this one, which is the new Sandra Bullock film with Channing Tatum.
Have you seen the trailer? What's that called again?
It's called The Lost City.
Yes, I have seen trailers.
And
for it.
It's not out yet, but she basically plays a romance novel author, and she's forced to go on a book tour to promote her latest book. And Channing Tatum plays the kind of the guy who models as the Lothario from the book. You know how those romance novels all have some guy with like sweeping hair and a kind of pirate shirt on the front.
Yeah.
So he plays the model who is the cover of her book, but he's like a bit dim and kind of thinks that he is that, and, you know, kind of walks around and has photos taken. Anyway, so her book is about like some lost city and it's all buried treasure on some island. Daniel Radcliffe comes along as some kind of eccentric millionaire and kidnaps her to try and actually find some real treasure on some lost island that he has. And Channing Tatum goes to save her, and then Brad Pitt is like another character I haven't watched that
say,
who also comes
to save
her. I
thought Brad Pitt was in it as well,
and it's all about Brad Pitt and Channing Tatum trying to save Sandra Bullock from Daniel Radcliffe, and it just looks so bad good. I cannot wait to see
I'll be there.
It
looks amazing.
Put that Lux list next month.
Ultra Lux. So that's one for the books. Should we answer some questions? Let's see what we've got today. Okay, let's start with a few fashion questions. Somebody says, for Charlotte and Polly, tips on finding your own personal style. I feel like we've both been on a journey.
Such a journey.
But isn't like, discovery. Lou obviously has had like the same style like since day dot. And I think if you like a lot of different types of fashion, then it can be quite hard to pinpoint what it is that is your style. What is your advice?
I would say maybe just don't be like caught up in the fact that you haven't found it yet. And like, I think it is like a bit of a journey, isn't it? And sometimes like certain aspects of my like style, certainly in the summer, I think I don't even know if I've like got there yet. I like to grab a few different things. But I'm kind of okay with that. You know, I'm like, well, if I like it, I'll give it a go. But I always feel like if you are struggling and you want to finesse your personal style a bit, Alison Bornstein always says that you should like kind of create a mood board or like just save things from Instagram or Pinterest that you like and then like put them all together and like assess what it is about all of those looks that you like, and then that will maybe give you a better idea of what you're most attracted to in clothes. I don't know, what do you think?
Well, I think also identify the things in your wardrobe that you feel really good in.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's basically the same thing, but then break down what it is about this. Is it that they're a certain color or that they're a certain fit or whatever it is? Identify what it is that makes you feel good in them and then just buy loads of that.
Yeah.
I said this a million times, but I always remember Trini coming on the show and somebody asked her about capsule wardrobes and like, what should everybody have in their capsule wardrobes? And she was like, if you look amazing in Cadbury purple and that's what you feel good in, then your capsule wardrobe should just be only Cadbury purple. Like, just buy what suits you and what feels you feel good in.
Yeah, and I feel like you're very good at that. Like, you know what you feel good in, what looks great on you. So you're like, well, okay, well, I'm true to my brand. And like, you know what? Like that works, isn't
thanks.
It? You know,
it's so exciting. Much. Somebody says, what's the rule for double denim?
Ooh, good question.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Question.
I think there is a rule.
I don't think there is any more. Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe 10 years ago it would have been frowned upon, but now.
But also, I think it kind of works if they clash and it kind of works if they match. As well.
Yeah. I feel like maybe it's easier if they don't match a little bit. I think if you're new to it, like, you know, maybe a full matching thing feels a bit like, ooh, okay, we're going double denim. But if like you've got a lighter top and a slightly darker jean, like, I don't know, I think that's maybe a bit more palatable. But yeah, I don't know that there's like specific rules on it.
I just think keep the rest of it simple.
Yeah.
Georgie's in double denim today. She's got a Levi's denim shirt on, me and M wide leg jeans, ballet flats, that's it. And I think that really works.
I would say maybe like avoid too many other like Western elements.
Yes. No cowboy hats.
No fringe suede jackets.
Somebody says spring shoe alternatives to trainers or heels. Heather, I'm going to come to you because that's sort of
Sit
somewhere between the two, don't you?
I don't know, I'm struggling. I don't want to be wearing tights right now, to be honest, but it's not time to take them off.
Yes, we've got two very opposing
I was to say these
looks.
Shoes are awful as well. I literally just put them on this morning because I had sore feet. They're fit flops, everyone. But
Heather, I'm the biggest advocate. We talk about it all the time.
I know,
fit flop till I die. I mean, they, if you're after something comfortable,
I feel like they kind of work with this dress, but no, you couldn't wear them with everything. I don't know, I'm probably gonna give my Tevas a go for a third year running because they're dead comfy, or Birkenstocks. But I mean, it depends what you wear, doesn't it? I wear dresses, so they kind of work with that. If you didn't,
Polly's wearing a chunky sandal today. True. With
shorts
and a denim shirt.
And a denim shirt.
I'm wearing sandals today.
And socks.
With socks, jeans and a sweatshirt.
I think socks and sandals like is a vibe.
Oh,
like,
it's been a vibe for me for years. Yeah. Like, fully acceptable.
Just go for it. Kind of trend. Yeah. Maybe like, so what did they say in the question?
They
that was
said,
like, that's
spring
not
shoe alternatives to trainers or heels. I think chunky sandals
chunky
as well.
Chunky sandals or like a ballet flat that like, maybe I keep saying this every year, but like a white ballet flat that comes up a bit higher here.
I actually just had another thought as well.
Yeah.
Clogs. There are clogs.
Yeah,
clogs.
I keep wearing clogs.
The old
Birkenstock
clog.
Well, yeah,
everywhere.
There's a flat pair like that, or there are like the proper, like you've got a pair, like a proper wooden soled
clogs. Yeah. I have to say though, like clogs, I love them on other people, but I haven't really worn mine very much. Like, there are not many occasions where I'm like, oh, I'd rather wear my clogs. It's like a croc.
The collaboration everyone needs.
Crocs are another option.
Yes, but no, I'm kind of always like every day, like, oh, I could wear my clogs, or I could just wear some trainers.
Clogs just aren't very comfortable. No, so if you've got to walk to the office or whatever, it's just not doable.
But, every designer has done a clog. When we were going through for Ultralux this morning, I mean, Prada, Miu Miu, Chanel. I mean, literally every...
They're back again.
Yeah, they are really back, that proper 70s style. I think it's a little smarter though than trainers, obviously.
But
if you want something... more of a shoe, but like I would, because I don't wear like a, I wouldn't wear a little ballet pump because it just doesn't suit me and my short dumpy legs, so therefore something chunkier that's smarter than a trainer.
I'll just say a nice loafer, because it's still sort of thin tights weather potentially if you're wearing dresses, still they work.
Chunky loafers going nowhere. I still really want those Gucci ones.
They are amazing.
They're just so expensive. £970. Lost the plot money, but
I bet they'd still give you blisters.
I bet you they would, and I'd be over them in a year. That's why I'm paying myself. But got it. What to wear for a hen party that starts with painting and ends with drinks?
Oh my goodness!
Double denim and clogs.
I just like a denim jumpsuit. You don't mind getting covered in painting.
I mean, I assume it's like Paint Me Pottery, not.
Or like painting Jackson like Pollock's. A naked man or something.
Yeah, yes, exactly. Probably rather than acrylics.
Yes, landscaping. Yeah. Yes, perhaps not. I think jeans, a top, and some heels. And then take a red lippy and some big earrings with you.
Classic day to night.
Classic day to night move. Agreed. What to wear? This is such a hard question. What to wear to Disneyland in Florida in May to look stylish but comfortable? Babe, you don't need to worry about looking stylish at Disneyland.
Exactly. Something waterproof if you're going to go on the log flumes.
Yeah, it's true. Although I quite like, you know, in Disney when you queue and it's really hot and they kind of spritz you with water. Like, I think you want something that can withstand the wet. Got to be shorts and a.
Shorts and a sweatshirt, with some nice sandals.
I mean, May in Florida is going to be pretty hot, I reckon. Yeah. I remember being there in April and it was pretty hot.
Yeah. I reckon just hit up the gift shop on arrival, go full.
Expensive. Do you know what it costs to shop at Disneyland?
No. Okay, so hit up a knockoff gift shop ahead of arrival and just choose your favourite Disney character and embrace it.
That's great advice. Princess costume, there you go.
Yeah.
Wow. Elsa, Cinderella. No, in all seriousness, I think an outfit like you're wearing today, Polly, like nylon shorts, which are everywhere, t-shirt, denim jacket / shirt.
Yeah,
layering,
isn't it? Yeah,
big sunglasses,
big sunnies,
exactly.
Some mini ears. But yeah, in all seriousness, I don't think it's not a fashion show.
No,
there.
No.
It's
just fine. Kids really.
No one's really going to be looking at it.
What is your? This is a really nice question, Sherry. I'm going to come to you first. What is your? I feel like crap, but I want to look good. Hack.
Oh,
what do you do when you just feel gross?
I love a sheet mask, like a really hydrating sheet mask. Eyebrows done. Mm-hmm. It's usually my hair. That's probably my biggest one. If you're having a bad hair day,
just wash it.
You look awful. Mm. Yeah, wash it, or I do like a slick back, low bun, big gold hoop earrings. In fact, yes, a gold hoop earring.
Okay,
you can take on anything wearing that.
My friend Becca's advice as well.
I am very borderline too casual for work today, and so therefore I put on gold earrings. I was like, ta-da, smart.
Your nails are done as well. I feel like that's another like
nails,
big tick.
Bun, gold. Hoops, and then it turns out you can wear Birkenstocks and a sweatshirt to work.
Yeah. No one for any occasion.
I think that's a really good one.
Yeah,
nice. And a sheet mask as well. I so agree with that.
Yes, my a bit of moisture.
My new thing is doing a sheet mask, taking it off, and then my ice rollers.
Oh, nice.
Over
that's
it.
Nice. Yeah, so like depuffing and lovely. Heather?
Yeah, probably a bright lipstick, I think, even if you're absolutely knackered or, you know, look, you know, not fab, it just detracts, I suppose.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good advice. Yeah. Polly?
I think for me, it's always having my nails done. Mm. Like, I feel way worse if I've got chipped or cracked nails. And often, as long as I've got a fresh mani, even if the rest of me is a piece of shit, I'll feel great.
Take on the world. Going back to beauty for a second, we should just say, we are working with Foreo. We had a bit of a debate about this earlier.
Yeah.
We're going to go with Foreo.
Yeah, I've decided.
Polly says it's Foreo, so we're going to go with it. And did you guys see Becky's unreal Sunday night beauty routine? Yeah. It is saved in the Instagram highlights on Sheer Luxe's Instagram account, using their latest exfoliating tool. Yeah, I mean, it's cool, isn't it? Sherry, you were saying that you're a fan.
I am. I have the, I think it's the Mini 2, and it just makes your skin feel so clean.
Yeah.
with just like a really foaming gel wash. Yeah, it just feels really nice. And because it's quite massaging as well, you feel like you're getting a little bit more than just using your hands.
Yeah.
And when I do use my hands, I really notice. I feel like it's like using an electric toothbrush and then going back to a manual. Yeah, you feel the difference.
Yeah, I love that. Mm. I really feel like I need that like deep cleanse. Like,
yeah, it's good.
You said toothbrush, speaking of.
Yeah, I have. Yeah, they've got like mini, again, it's that same sort of rubber texture, even on the bristles. Mm. So it does just feel like, yeah. Especially when you're massaging the gums, it feels nice.
Find it to your gums.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is important.
It is.
When you brush too hard, your gums can suffer.
There we go.
Yes, I had that. I was told to stop. Last time I was told I had to go electric because
I brushed too hard.
Yeah, brushed really hard.
Yeah, it is interesting.
It really is. Somebody has asked, I mean, they've just said funeral dressing.
Yeah.
What do you wear to a funeral? Do you have a go-to look?
Well, I don't know if one ever has a go-to look for a funeral because they're hopefully quite infrequent in your life, I suppose. But I guess it depends on like, because some funerals they say like no black.
Yeah.
Other times they're like, you know, it is a black situation.
No black is hard.
Yeah, I find that more difficult in a sense.
What
like you're just like, you want to be respectful, but also like if you want it to be a celebration of someone's life and it not to be kind of somber and whatever. I would just say like, it's one of those occasions I think it's appropriate to cover as much skin as possible.
Agreed.
So like if it is a no black situation, I would just wear like, you know, a high neck kind of Victoriana style midi dress with longer, bigger sleeves, kind of like maybe from Ghost or maybe from like Serafina or something like that. Mm. Like that kind of style, I think. And then kind of similar vibes, even if you're wearing black, to be honest, or wear a blazer and black blazer and some, I don't know, split hem black trousers and some little heels or something. I don't know. Like it's a really tricky one to navigate. I appreciate
it. Depends
that.
On who it is as well. Mm. Yeah. Suppose, yeah. True.
But I do feel like if in doubt, wear a dress or a skirt. Like I just, you will always feel more appropriate.
Yeah.
Whatever the dress code. I think if you're wearing that over a pair of, I think trousers are harder to navigate.
Yeah.
That's my advice.
100%.
Mm-hmm. I've never been to one that says don't wear black. I think Jewish funerals are generally quite sad.
Quite traditional.
So, yeah. So even in some, but I'll tend to just wear a black dress in summer.
Yeah.
And then it's much easier in winter because then you just wear boots and a coat and it's all
Yeah.
That's true. Quite hard.
I do remember going to a funeral and it was in the summer and it was a black dress code. And I remember finding it really difficult.
Yeah.
So I do feel people's pain, especially because it's like, again, it's not something that you dress for very often. So it's like, God, what do I
But I do think it is really, maybe I've been to more funerals, I don't know, but I do think it's really useful to have like a funeral dress in inverted commas in your wardrobe because then when it comes up,
you're not panicked.
Yeah.
I've obviously got loads of black dresses, so it's quite easy for me, I guess, like a black dress, black tights, black shoes.
Yes, exactly.
But yeah. I appreciate not everyone's got stuff like that.
I was going to say a dress that you're wearing today. I mean, that the nicest way, not because it's like
funerals, mother. No,
you're wearing a lovely Ghani. Is it Ghani that dress?
Yeah. If they did a black version of this, I'd be very happy. But
because it's grey, it's not a frivolous dress.
No.
It's grey, so it's not black, but it's
I agree.
Something like that. Okay, somebody has asked, I like this question. What do you ask for at the hairdresser? What instructions do you give? Sherry, what do you ask for?
Oh, you know, controversial. I actually don't go to the hairdresser.
What does that mean?
I don't like getting my hair cut by other people. I actually cut
people?
It by... by other people.
Yeah.
No.
By the people, by the masses.
The riffraff.
No, I honestly just cut it myself.
No,
I have,
you
like,
don't.
I do, yeah. I have
my friend does as well.
Yeah. However, because I have really curly hair, you can get away with it.
Because if it's a bit uneven, it'll just spring. In a slightly different direction.
Exactly. There is a really good curly hair salon in Shoreditch called 330, which is so good if you want like a proper curly cut. And they like do bangs and you can get layers and stuff. So that is really good. I've been there once and it is really good, but I just find because my hair goes quite quickly, I probably cut it like literally twice a month.
Do you?
I'm
so jealous. It grows so quickly.
Every time, nearly every time I wash it, I get the scissors out and snips. Don't go. Maybe I should. Maybe I'm doing it all wrong.
I love your hair.
Yeah. I mean, why not? If it works for you.
Great, so
low maintenance. You probably save a fortune as well.
Yeah, this is it. And then I can spend more on like products.
And your hair looks great anyway, so lucky
thanks.
You. Heather, what do you ask for?
At the moment, I'm just still trying to grow it really long. So
it's really long for you, though.
It is for me, yeah. Basically, just before I started at Sheer Lux 4 years ago, I had it cut into a bob for the first time ever. I didn't mind it at all. I quite liked it. But then I've basically been spending the last 3 years, I'd say, trying to grow it back to what it was before. But no, I haven't had a scent of parting before until like relatively recently. That was a lockdown thing.
Was it? Why? What did you?
I had a proper lockdown side parting and a fringe, but then it just sort of grew out because I was I was growing it all out anyway. I just decided to just keep it.
Yeah.
So it's like basically all one length, which it just keeps it healthy.
But you've got a nice kind of relaxed little wave.
It's really beachy.
I wash it and leave it, and that's
it. So lucky.
But if it meets rain, it's a different story. But at the moment, I don't know. As with everyone, I keep toying with like, should I put a fringe back in, or should I do this? But for now,
really fancy one.
Keeping it long and healthy.
That's great. Polly, would you ever get a fringe again?
I would be tempted.
I love
like
a fringe.
I did really enjoy it. I just feel like I had it when I had like longer extensions, and I'm trying to grow my hair out currently, and I think it works really nicely when you've got quite long hair, but at the length that it is currently, I just don't know that it really works that well. So I think once it's at the length that I'm happy with, I would maybe like consider getting a little long bang situation cut anyway, because I just feel like as you described it when I first got on, she's like, it's like an accessory. Like,
is that what I said? It is like an accessory.
It's like an accessory. So I was like, and I don't know, I felt like I could tie my hair up and frame my face a little bit. Yeah. I've got quite a large forehead, so.
Oh, do me a favor.
Well, like my hairline actually is just, that's the problem. anyway, boring chat. But yeah, I would consider it. Would you ever, maybe?
Yeah, I would. I just don't think I can be bothered for the maintenance.
Yeah,
I
love the look. Yeah. And also I have to say, like, as much as everyone's like, oh, you can just grow it out. Like the growing out sort of stage is quite annoying. Like it's now at a point where I'm like, okay.
Yeah, it's fine once it's sort of past your cheekbones, isn't it? When it sort of becomes a layer at the front. Yeah. But until then, again, thankfully, I was in lockdown.
It's like a weird, like, in between stage. Yeah. It's like here. And you're like, oh, it's
just curls in.
Or anyway. It's annoying to style. So, you know, proceed with caution, I would say.
But what do you ask for at the hairdressers?
So again, I haven't really had like a proper haircut for ages. So I'm trying to grow it. But when I get my colour done, I just sort of let my hairdresser do her thing, but she keeps it light around the front. She does a bit of a gloss through the root to blend it, and then just like some highlights through, like baby light kind of things through the ends. Mm-hmm. So it's a bit more beachy and lived in. What about you?
Your colour looks great, actually.
I was thinking that when you were talking about your
really
fringe,
great.
I was just looking at the colour.
Rebecca Harris' hair, she does a great job. It's amazing.
I was supposed to have mine done like 2 weeks ago, and I was like, actually, it still looks so blonde, I'll wait. And that was such an error because now, overnight, it went brunette, and I'm like, damn it, I should have.
Yeah. But that's why, doesn't your hair always look at its best on the way to the hairdresser?
Yeah, exactly.
You're like, oh, why am I doing this?
That actually doesn't happen to me because I normally get excited that somebody else is going to wash it, so wait like 4 days.
Oh, and
so
it's fine.
Like, you could squeeze the grease out of it. But
do you use, because like everyone loves your hair and it does always look great, do you use any kind of like products to kind of maintain the colour?
I don't use anything.
Do you know what? Wow.
No. I've just started. So Becky and I, BTS viewers would have seen us go to Jonathan Van Ness's product launch.
Ooh, yes.
He launched his range at Space NK. So I have been using his shampoo and conditioner. He basically said, like, when he was talking, he was like, people come to me and they're like, I don't understand why my hair is shit. And then they'll say they don't use any heat protection. And I'm like, well, that's just stupid. I don't use any heat protection. So I'm going to start doing that. And I've got his.
Wow.
Yeah, but I mean, every hair on my head is split. Like, it is so bad.
And it's awesome.
Do you heat style it every day?
I heat style it probably only like twice a week because I do wear ice up today.
That's probably like how it's better. Not in like
possibly but it does feel really straw like and like not that shiny at the moment. But once my color, I need it cut, and once my color's done, it'll be a lot better. But yeah, no, sadly I don't really have any recommendations. I'm quite like, I've just spent a fortune on my color and have a really good colorist, and that's the thing that I
do think that makes a big difference.
It really does. And she takes, I mean, it takes 4 hours to do my color.
It's amazing, isn't it, how like people kind of complain about the like price of that kind of blonde, like that sort of lived in blonde, but it really takes such a long time, and it is like artistry.
Totally.
You can see, like, you know, like I'm happy to pay like a decent whack for it, because it's not as simple as just putting some highlights in. Like, it really is a big old job.
And actually I used to go somewhere super cheap like a long time ago, and that, I mean, the different, like when I look back at old Sherlock's videos, I'm like, oh my god, like it's expensive. but it's
and also
wear your hair every day, as people say.
Exactly. So, and you probably only need to get yours done right like every 3 months,
especially because I don't get roots done.
That's
anymore.
Exactly, like same as me.
Most people have moved away from like highlights in the traditional sense and go for what you and I have, which is a bit more of a kind of balayage style, and therefore you need it done so much less frequently.
Yeah, which I'm so lazy here for. So,
yeah, I think I only get mine done 3 times a year.
Yeah.
So
same.
That's good.
Right. Best everyday knickers recommendations, please. Where do you buy your everyday knickers? Go on.
Hanky Panky, hands down. I freaking love them. Like, I think I've spoken to you about them before, and you were like,
why would you pay that much for knickers? They are like quite expensive.
Mm. How much like, are we talking?
I think they're more, they're like £25 for a pair, maybe. But their thing is like the comfiest thong in the world. And I'm like, that doesn't make sense. Thongs are not comfy until I tried these. And I'm not joking. They are just, I can't feel them. Like they're so nice. Wow. Like there's something about the lace just so, so soft and like stretchy enough and not baggy. Like it's just so nice. Bit of an indulgence, but I always ask for them for like Christmas or birthday. They do them on net for like a pack of three for 60 quid or something, which I concede is a lot of money. Please don't come at me telling me you can get them in Primark for £3 because they're not the same.
got to invest in your comfort.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And I love them.
Oh, great. Yeah, I'll check that out.
Yeah. Heather? Mm. I still don't believe there's such a thing as a comfy thong, but I'm prepared to be true.
Please try them.
I will try them. Please.
Yeah, I guess, classic like M&S and Uniqlo, those kind of... Mm. I'd say main places.
Yeah, always M&S. You can't go wrong. And also H&M do a good...
multi-pack.
They do, exactly.
Nice.
Cheap and cheerful. Mm. You know what you're getting.
Yeah, that's true.
Charlotte, what about you?
My everyday ones are Victoria's Secret via Next. You can now buy them online at Next, which is actually a great revelation because I used to have to buy them either in America or go to the Victoria's Secret store, which is a bit more like, but I don't know what style they are, but they're just really big and stretchy for my massive bum. And and then for a bit of indulgence, there's a Sunspell pair, which are the least sexy things you will have ever seen. They come up to like under my boobs.
That sounds fab.
But they are just so large and so supportive. And they are, they're also a little bit more expensive. They're about £20 a pair, but they often go into sales. So they're more like 16, 17. Yeah, so I buy them then because they are like when you just really want to be like corseted in.
Yeah. Oh, nice. I might check those out.
Yeah. Anyway, I think we'll leave it there. Thanks for listening. If you have any feedback at all or want to ask us a question, then do please email podcast@sheerlux.com or look out for the question box, which goes live every weekend on our Instagram stories. Don't forget to rate, review, subscribe and tell your friends. And we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.